PC.
And now more of Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. This is Eric Osnes.
I'm Reba Haas.
And join us every Tuesday at 3 o'clock for an hour of informative information on real estate and finance and just about anything else that we feel like talking about.
And sometimes a bit of ridiculousness.
Absolutely. So, Reba, you were mentioning that you were working with investors. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I was. So when I got into the industry, we chose to target both residential sales and multifamily and maybe like commercial property. And we ended up, the first few years, I had anywhere from 40 to 60% of my client base buying investment properties, primarily small multifamily up to what would be considered commercial grade, up to about 20 units.
That was during the boom time, too.
That was during the boom time. So 2003, you know, prices around here had been already appreciating in general 12 to 35% a year. And so we were already midway through that big run up. And prices began to get so out of whack that, especially in the core Seattle area, it just didn't make any sense because we never would sell a property that didn't cash flow from day one. So most of our properties, and this is what started me covering a three-county area, I always say I'm South Snohomish to North Pierce and Olive King in between, because for my investor clients, we had to go to the perimeter of King County to find anything that could cash flow and make sense financially for them.
You know, I call it a little different market. I call that the Apple Maggot Quarantine Area.
Okay.
You ever seen the signs as you're driving
those
down
I-5? Those
wonderful
signs,
yeah.
Yes.
That's my coverage area.
Horrible. What a way to envision that, especially when I see my dog eating all those rotten apples in our yard.
That's
right,
right.
Now. He
That's
just brought
right.
one in last night.
Well, we can safely say we are maggot-free in this area, though, so that's all good. Yep.
Yum. Yum. Thank you for that, Eric. but, yeah, so around 2006, a lot of that client base started kind of drying up because we just couldn't recommend any property. Only about 5 to 7% of the property around here really made any financial sense. And we refused to sell just only on appreciation. That was just a clear thing for me, as I wasn't going to do that. And I was so happy because when August 4th, 2007 came, as you know, our market went into free fall here. And so my investor client base quickly started going to 25%, 15%. And we really started ramping up more of our residential work and working with a lot more of our tech clients and what have you. And we actually did quite well in my team through the recession. And I knock on wood every time I say that, because I know many of my colleagues did not fare so well. And a lot of folks fell out of the business in the industry.
It was hard work at that time.
Yeah, very, very hard work. And so, you know, we did fine. And about 3 years ago, of course, as you know, we really hit our bottom in 2010, 2011, we flattened. In 2012, we started growing again. And now we're starting to see some of that investment come back. A lot of it's flipping. There's not so much folks jumping into multifamily, which is a little surprising to me because of all the new construction that's really focused on multifamily.
Right, right.
And, you know, we haven't seen a lot of those properties changing hands even. So I think those folks who are making money are just holding on, especially because right now they're able to raise those rents, right?
Well, and we're looking at what's happening with the values, and people are thinking that we're not done.
Right.
You know, and all of our forecasts right now, you might talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, I will talk about that on the real estate part. But one of the things that is driving a lot of the residential side of things right now is interest rates remaining so low.
Yes.
And so we're actually still very excited about kind of where we're at in this part of the United States, because we have the benefit of this really great appreciation growing again, along with continued
low
interest rates, which are kind of falsely in place.
Right.
And, you know, there's several years out, but I definitely want to make sure that we get a chance, because you said the Fed met today, did they not?
Yes, they did. And, okay. And we've got tons and tons of speculation going on in the financial markets. If anybody's watching them today, they're all over the place. And so there's a lot of speculation about what the Fed's going to do. Before I jump into that, too, call us up if you've got a question. You can reach us toll-free at 1-866-712-1300 or locally 206-441-1300. 5565 with your questions. So first off, let's talk a little bit about the Fed. You know, what mm-hmm. is it actually that who's meeting and what are they talking about and what's going on? What they're the group is called the FOMC. It's the Federal Open Market Committee, and the Federal Open Market Committee is part of the Federal Reserve Bank, and they meet every 6 weeks, well, eight mm-hmm. times a year.
And we have one of those here.
We do have a Federal Reserve Bank branch. Yes, we do. And the way the FOMC works, they have a board of governors. They have basically seven members on the board plus five Reserve Bank presidents. These are presidents of local banks, like there's one in Seattle. We're a branch of the San Francisco branch. Mm-hmm. There's ones in California, Oklahoma, right. New York, Boston.
Yeah, I actually got a tour of our facility here as part of my work with the Renton Chamber, and it was fascinating.
Very interesting. You get your little jar of shredded money to walk away with. There you go. Yep. So what happens is the meetings take place every 6 weeks. They're secret. The meetings are held secret. 30 days after the meeting, the minutes from the meeting are published, and so everybody knows a month later kind of what they talked about. What the Fed will be doing today and tomorrow, they're meeting, and they're trying to decide whether they should increase interest rates. Mm-hmm. And most likely tomorrow they'll make an announcement on that. And they're going to make two announcements. Number one is whether they increased interest rates or not. And number two, what their bias is towards future increases. And the bias can be almost more important than the actual increase, although both are equally important right now. What is it that they're actually talking about increasing? Mm-hmm. The Fed cannot increase your car loan. They can't increase your mortgage rate. The only thing that they can control is what's called the federal funds rate. And the Fed funds rate is basically the rate that banks pay to each other to borrow money from each other overnight.
I call that the ultimate monopoly money.
It's sort of like overdraft protection for a bank, because every bank, every day, they never know how much money is coming in the door, how much money is going out the door, and they all maintain bank accounts with mm-hmm. the Federal Reserve Bank. So every now and then they'll go overdraft on that account. More money went out than came in, and they have to borrow money to cover that overdraft until they can settle it up the next day. That's what the federal funds rate is.
If you did this at your own bank too often, they would tell you to please take your business elsewhere.
Well, right. And the Fed funds rate, I mean, if you overdraft, you're going to pay, what, $35
or something
like that?
Oh, yeah, you get majorly penalized.
Spread that out over, it's a pretty high interest rate. What do you think the federal funds rate is right now? What's your guess?
Oh, gosh. I knew I should have looked this up before the show. One.
Way off. Actually, right now, the federal funds rate is 0.14%.
Dang it.
It's about what it tends to average. So we're not talking about a exorbitant interest rate here. Mm-hmm.
That had been held at zero for quite a while during the recession, right?
The last time interest rates went up, Fed funds rate went up, was in 2006. Yeah, we've had a long run of extremely stable rates. Mm-hmm. So what they're talking about now, the reason that they're talking about increasing rates is typically the Fed will use that to control the economy. If the Fed lowers rates, it doesn't always necessarily stimulate the economy, but if they increase rates, it almost always essentially puts the brakes on it.
Right.
And if you think about it, if you take a little bit of money out of someone's pocket, mm-hmm. They have less money to spend, and that tends to slow your economic activity. Well,
or like when you try and ask, I don't know, the Microsoft employees to pay for the towels at their...
Probably.
I remember that was a huge, huge thing when
that's
I was selling
more
the Microsoft.
Serious than
their
the Fed
employees
funds rate.
Were crazy when they had to pay for their towels.
Absolutely.
They're like, what?
So, but what the Fed funds rate does, it has it's an effect on several things. It affects prime rate. So, and prime rate affects if you have a home mm-hmm. equity line of credit. Or a business loans are probably even more important.
Yeah.
It can affect the rate on car loans and adjustable rate mortgages, things mm-hmm. like that. So when the Fed increases, it will tend to kind of trickle through. The other thing it can affect is the fees that banks charge. Because if you think about it, a bank now all of a sudden rates are going up. That means they have to pay a little bit more to their depositors. That gives them a little bit less profit. And they're going to be trying to figure out, how do I get some of that back. So there's a trickling effect throughout the economy when the Fed funds rate increases. So
are you saying every time we see those ads where Chase says open a bank account and we'll give you $100, that's what's in, like, they'll say, no, we're not offering those incentives any longer, right. Or just all rates start going up for fees.
Well, you could see, I mean, I can't speak for the different banks, but yeah, you could see some different things happen, or the cost of an overdraft, or the mm-hmm. cost of a NSF check or something like that could go up. So,
right.
So just some things to keep an eye on. Now, what they're talking about right now, and at least what most people are speculating, is that if we have an increase, it's probably going to be maybe 0.25%, initially.
Okay.
And so it's not an earth-shattering move.
No, but for someone purchasing a home, it might make the difference on whether they're qualifying.
It could. Now, for instance, today I've been following the mortgage markets today, and we had some increases in mortgage rates today a little bit, mm-hmm. As they're trying to anticipate what's happening with the Fed and react to it. So even though the Fed hasn't made an announcement, the expectation of it's pretty much already been cooked into today's rates. With that said, can we live with rates around 4%? Yeah, absolutely.
The
rates
are
phenomenally good right now. So this isn't going to be the end of the world if they do increase rates. Personally, I'm not convinced that they are going to increase them, today or tomorrow. My guess is that they'll wait. And there's a few reasons for that. One of the reasons is that increasing will definitely slow the economy down. And there's some good and bad that can also go along with that. And if you it's kind of funny, I've been reading about some of the economists and all their opinions on everything, and what do they say? If you lined all the economists up in the world, they'd never reach a conclusion. So I'm looking at two lists here, and I got one that's saying all the reasons why they should raise rates, today mm-hmm. or tomorrow, and I have one that says why they shouldn't. And the folks that are sort of against raising our reason for raising rates is to control inflation. We want to keep the economy from overheating. It's wages that really have the strongest effect on inflation. And right now,
we in our marketplace are one of the top in the country with rising.
We are, but rates are based on national statistics, though.
Right.
So nationally, there's not a lot of pressure on wages right now. It's not that bad, and so. As we kind of go along, we're going to actually pick this up in just a minute here and finish as we go into a break. You're listening to Open House with Team Reba. This is Eric Ossus and Reba Haas. Join us at the end of the break. We'll continue our conversation.
Open House with Team Reba. We'll be right back.